Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm reading something online right now that is completely not rated G, and it's actually kind of funny. This comes from Jezebel.com, and again, this is not G-rated, so I am not encouraging you to go check this out at all, but it is kind of funny. It says, Jezebel.com, it says, Disney dudes dicks, what your favorite princess look like naked. So they took a lot of the characters that you've seen in the Disney cartoons like Gaston and Beast, a.k.a. Prince Adam and Prince Eric and Prince Ferdinand and Prince Charming and so on and so forth, and they've drawn them in the buff. And again, not Disney drawings, of course, but it's the Jezebel staff at Jezebel.com that did that. Jezebel. Disney dudes dicks, what your favorite princess look like naked. So that was kind of funny and inappropriate. Someone just popped that onto my on an instant message thing. So that was fun. Anyway, welcome to Rated G Radio. What did you do over the weekend? If you did something fun, call in and tell me about it at 323-657-1493 or pop onto the Blog Talk chat room. We've got a bunch of people in there now, including Anita in Oregon. I think Linda's also going to be in there. We've also got Stephen from New Zealand on the line, and Alan, I'm not sure where you're from, Alan, but Alan, you're there too, so thanks for being here. And I've got a couple of other people. I need to minimize some of my screens to see all of you, but thanks for being here. So, what is your take on the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge? Have you seen the videos that are going around the world for people who are doing this thing where they give a little impassioned speech about why they're doing it and then allowing somebody to throw a bucket of ice on them? I'm still not really sure what the objective is other than it's raising money for ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. Number one, I think that's a great cause to support. My next-door neighbor in Arizona and then my landlord here in California, I'd be Jennifer Preve and then Michael Vaca, you know, their brother and sister, and their mother passed away from ALS years ago. And just, you know, what a great family and just some of the stories they told about their mother and what a wonderful lady she was really just touched my heart. And so to see all of these people all of a sudden jumping on the PR bandwagon to raise awareness for ALS, I guess it's really done some amazing things. This time last year, you know, like year-to-date contributions or donations to ALS was like around $1.3 million. And by this time over the weekend, year-to-date, the donations were somewhere around like $12 million. So the money's been pouring in left and right, which is fantastic. But I don't really get the whole thing about dumping a bucket of ice on your head other than you get a chance to hopefully have a video of you, quote-unquote, go viral, and you get to say whatever it is you want to say, challenge at least three people, and then get a bucket of ice dumped on you. So if you get the bucket of ice dumped on you, does that mean you do not donate the $100 to ALS? I'm thinking that's how this thing works. If you can explain it to me, I would really like to know what the whole real deal is. That would be kind of cool to figure out. Or is it that you know you get challenged and you don't accept the bucket of ice, then that's when you do the $100? I don't understand it. I think, however, for a lot of celebrities that are looking for ways to easily get back into the press, I think this is a great thing for them, including, you know, everybody's talking about the fact that Oprah's done it and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Every celebrity is currently doing it. If they're not, they will be or they are, and they're just getting their video edited down. I saw Britney Spears get ice bombed just a little bit ago, and that was hysterical just because of the end. She used the F word, and I don't think she was planning on doing that, but she's like, holy F, and she did. So there you go. I asked Jennifer about this, by the way. So, and Jennifer says, I've already made my donation, so don't come calling to me for the ice bucket. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's fair. I don't get the whole thing. I kind of wonder what's going to end up happening next, because, you know, remember it was like a month ago or 2 months ago, somebody was looking for money to raise money to make the perfect potato salad or the macaroni salad or the something salad, and they did a global funding thing on Kickstarter or GoFundMe or something like that, and they ended up raising, you know, like $50,000, and they were trying to raise like $100 or something ridiculous like that, you know, and everybody was jumping on the bandwagon for that. Didn't understand that whole thing, and so to have this kind of just all of a sudden take a life of its own really intrigues me, and intrigues me in a flash mob kind of way. I bring that up because this Wednesday, if you just happen to be in the Los Angeles area, they're going to be doing a flash mob in Los Angeles on the 20th. That's 2 days from today. You can go, and you have to, like, learn this dance. They'll send you, like, a little YouTube video so you can learn this dance, and then you go show up at this place. Apparently, it's going to be for a nationally televised program. They won't tell you which one until you're actually there. And then, you know, you've got to sign your disclosures and all that good stuff. But you go and have this dance practice before you show up. You show up, and they've got, like, 3 hours of rehearsals beforehand, and then they're going to be doing this at a hospital here in Los Angeles for, I guess, a bunch of kids. Really, really cool thing. And I found out about it from Suzanne Wong. This is all like 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon today. But I found out about that through Suzanne Wong, who, of course, teaches The Playing Field, which is my artist's workshop paradise that I go to on Saturdays now. Or I say I go to, like I've been going for, you know, years and years. This is my second time going as a participant. I went 2 weeks ago, and I debuted the characters that I'm working on for a sitcom, and the sitcom is called It's Miller Time. Now, of course, you know, that's a big stretch because it's based loosely around my life on Rated G Radio. So, you know, guess where a lot of the hilarity ensues. Well, you guessed it. It's correct. It's right here. So this last week, I shared with you, I went back into the recording studio, and I kind of changed direction on what I wanted to do for my first single. I'll tell you a little bit about what's going to be happening. It's going to be a 10-album deal that I've done with my producer, and we've already signed the paperwork. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. Now it's just a matter of me finishing my songs and getting into the studio with him and getting them sung. So for months, I've had this song that I have in my head that was going to be this big rock and roll, Rolling Stone, J. Geils band type of an anthem. It's not going to be that. For a year, I've been planning this. You know, when I go back into the studio, it's going to be this particular song. Hi, Laura, by the way. Thanks, Laura, down here in Orange County for listening. I appreciate you tuning in as well as Alan, Stephen in New Zealand, Linda in Wisconsin, Anita, and everybody else tuning in. Thank you very much. Richard up in Northern California, I see you just pinged in as well. So I was going to have this big rock anthem, and about 6 weeks ago, I'm in the car driving around to various appointments, and it just kind of hit me. And it hit me kind of like really, really hard, and I knew as soon as the idea came to me, I said, this is what I have to do. This is going to be like the song. So I sang the song, and it's best described as like a tribal chant, and without giving away too much, because I really want to kind of like I want to kind of give it as a surprise. I don't want to give away too much out on the onset like I did with the last effort. The last effort, it was like, holy cow, I can't believe this turned out great. This is going to be one of those, holy cow, I want to release it all at the same time and have you go, wow! Now, I don't know if I can really contain myself until I get 10 songs done before I do that, but I'm going to do my very darndest, so I'm going to try not to release anything here, but I'll tell you about it or I'll answer questions. Hi, Clara from Peru. She's listening as well. She just chimed in, so thanks for tuning in, Clara. So this song is going to be this tribal chant. So I went into the recording studio, met with Brian Pothier, who's my producer. We talked about the concept, talked about my lyrics. We came up with the music. Actually, I told him what I want. He gets the music all arranged and organized, and it is just absolutely a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant job that he does. So I go in to sing it last week. He sends the final cut over to me, and I am very, very careful to let only like one or two people listen to it during the course of the week. So I really just don't want to let it, and I say leak, you know, not like anybody I know is going to leak it onto the radio, and it's certainly not done where anybody's going to play it. But, you know, it was not finished. This is just kind of like the rough cut. So Saturday, I'm going back to the playing field, and I'm saying, you know, I really should be talking about my sitcom development and, you know, the feedback that I got from the week before and, you know, go over the homework for that. And I can tell that it is just not in my heart to really do that on Saturday. What was in my heart was to take my portable Oontz speaker, Oontz, and play them the song. So, of course, you know, of course, when I do work, I always think, you know, the first cut is the most brilliant thing I've ever done ever, and it can never get any better. Roll your eyes with that, but that's what I really think. So I take the song in, and I just tell the class, I said, okay, you know, I'm working on music for my second album. Here's the first single, and it's not done, but it's close, and, you know, I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So they all close their eyes. I turn the volume up really loud, and the song plays. It's a five-minute song. By the way, most songs on the radio, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. That's average. I mean, or that's a long song, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Most songs are about 3 minutes. A bathroom song is four. A bathroom song means it's long enough you can usually run down to the hall, go pee, and come back. This is the five-minute song. It also has a very long spoken intro. And the spoken intro part, I always hearken back to listening back to the 1980s albums of like a Janet Jackson where she goes, this is a story about control, my control, and I've got lots of it, like that, you know? So I wanted to have a spoken intro to this along the way. Long story short, they listen to the whole thing and then start to give me constructive criticism and constructive feedback, which was exactly what I was hoping to get. And from such a creative and artistic bunch, it was certainly welcome feedback. And I went, okay. Oh, and my grammar's off. Okay. So I took all my notes. And they were very, very kind, by the way, very complimentary. And so I took that back to my vocal coach today, Bill Sinkay, because I had a singing lesson this morning before going back into the studio. So I go back to Bill and I say, okay, Bill, you've not heard this song. He hadn't heard the song, didn't know what we're going to work on. And usually he tells me, and I said, today here's what I want to work on. So I had him listen to the song, and I kind of went through my explanation, just like I've kind of shared with you, went through the feedback that, you know, the class shared with me. And then he gave me his feedback as well. So by the time I got back to Brian's today, my voice is already a little hoarse, and I didn't really sing that much in the singing lesson today. It was more just explaining and talking about and kind of going through some examples. So by the time we got back to the studio today and was working with Brian, we had a shorter window to work because of the lesson earlier, but implemented the changes that they made recommendations on, Bill made recommendations on for the beginning of the song, and I really, really like what we did today. So I don't have it to share with you, but I'm just telling you that's what I did today, and that brings us to Monday's headlines of the day, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes. But again, this is a recent song by Margot Ray, guest on Rated G Radio. This is her song Habit, and we'll be right back.
Every time I'm missing you. habit to me.
While the music's playing, Laura in the chat room on Facebook says, oh, my God, she's got a great voice. I'm like, yeah, and she goes, it's like listening to Cyndi Lauper. Anyway, so if you get a chance to go listen to Margot Ray's Colors, C-O-L-O-U-R-S, you know the English spelling, Colors, that's going up the adult contemporary charts on terrestrial radio and like iHeartRadio and stations like that around the globe. So if you get a chance to go request Margot Ray, please do so. You know, she's married to Ron White. And he was part of Blue Comedy comedy tour. He's known as Mr. Tater Salad and really, really inappropriate. Funny, but he swears a lot. And you know what? And I'm not against swearing, and I'm not against swearing in appropriate terms, but swearing just to swear sometimes is just, you know, it just doesn't work. And truth be told, I would swear on the show now, except that when I start to swear, I can't stop. It's like it gives me Tourette's. So I just kind of curb that while I'm on the show so you don't think I just have this big sailor mouth. Hi to John in Orange County for listening in as well. And so I want to thank him for listening. I see you there. I'm trying to get Alan, another Alan, listening here. So thanks for that. That's really, really cool too. Here's how crazy I'm thinking today is. I do my rundown of what we're going to do on the show before the show starts, you know, and so I'm writing all of this stuff down, and then I realize that it's for next Monday, the 25th, so I'm already thinking like a week ahead, and I guess that's because this week's shows are just already booked up and filled. So to give you kind of a little bit of a headline for the rest of the week and the roadmap for what's going to be taking place, Tuesday and Wednesday this week, we're going to be, you know, kind of like doing a little psychic thing. We're going to have Tarot Tuesday tomorrow night with Tarot Jeff. So if you would like to get a free 5-minute three-card read, that's like what's in the cards for me, Jeff will do that for you free of charge. I think it's just you, Anita. I think, let's see. Anita says she can't hear. I think it's just you because I'm just checking here and it looks like I'm okay. I think it's just you. Check your settings. If anybody else is having a hard time, let me know. Anyway, and if you can't hear me, you're probably going, I can't hear anything. I wonder if he's talking. But I am talking. So tomorrow night, Tuesday, the 19th, we'll have Tarot Jeff on the show. Then Wednesday, we're going to have Annie Ulrich back on the show. And Dr. Annie is going to do an intuitive reading. And she'll also be talking about dream interpretation. So if you've got this weird dream that keeps coming back and you don't know what's going on, Wednesday night is your chance to call in. And you'll be able to ask Dr. Annie Ulrich about your dreams. Or if you'd like an intuitive reading, you can do that as well. Thursday night, we're going to have Tracy Hall with a group here in Orange County called Project Independence. I don't know a whole lot about the group other than they are going to be calling in to talk about a fundraiser and project that they've got coming up in September. And so we're going to be doing a little promo for them on Thursday. And it'll be Tracy Hall with Project Independence. And then Friday night, we're going to have music sensation Joseph Eid on the show. You'll remember Joseph and I met a couple of months ago at a rock or, like a concert type of a thing up in Hollywood. He's one of the featured performers, and I've already had Dan Holguin on the show a few Fridays ago as a musical guest, and Joseph is going to join the show this Friday as a musical guest to talk about his album, and very excited to have him on the show. Next, and here's the reason why I thought what I was writing down for tonight, even though I wrote it down for next week, was for tonight, is because next week the show is filled up as well. We've got Tarot Tuesday again, next Tuesday the 26th, then we've also got Kurgan Edward Stout. He calls it, I don't know what we're going to talk about, I call it, we're going to talk about your book that you came on last fall to talk about, and then find out about your recent marriage. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. So that is really, really cool. If any of you are not here, well, why would I even say this? Because if I say this and you can't hear, you won't know. I was going to say, if any of you can't hear me, go ahead and restart the, your audio, and you should be in good shape. I don't know. John says he can hear me, but it's low. Maybe your volume is low because it's kind of like one setting here on the computer for me. And if I adjust my earphones, it just sounds like I'm screaming in my ear. So there we go. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Did you watch SummerSlam yesterday? That would be the WWE pay-per-view of the summer. Well, I didn't because I don't have cable, but I do read the updates on what takes place afterwards. And actually, that is probably about as much as I really need because the only event that I ever spent pay-per-view money on was WrestleMania, and I have not done that now for the second year in a row, and I'm really okay with that. For years and years and years, I would say, that's the one show I'm going to spend the money on. I'm not really sure why, because, you see all the highlights the next night or whatever, and then on top of that, you just spent $60. So I haven't been really big on spending the money on that. But last night's SummerSlam here in Los Angeles apparently was really, really quite the show. There was a match last night that apparently stole many a match of the evening from a lot of other matches that were out there, and it's Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. They're having a rematch tonight in Las Vegas, so if you're in Las Vegas listening to the show, tune in to Raw because they'll be doing a rematch of that. But, of course, in the big news of the show, you had John Cena getting his ass kicked last night. And, of course, it is predetermined creative sports entertainment, but that does not mean that it's not, going through the I have to act like I'm getting my butt kicked type of a deal. He did. And it will be interesting to see what ends up happening as they start moving towards other programming because Brock Lesnar, the new champion, really is only signed for a few dates here and there, and that's exactly how his contract is written. It probably is not a big deal because, kind of like The Rock last year when they were leading up to WrestleMania and John Cena re-winning the title for the 8 millionth time, that, they let The Rock off to go film his movies and do everything else, and The Rock came in, hyped everything, and they did a great buy rate. They're probably going to be expecting the same with Brock Lesnar. Interesting to see what will happen, so I'll be excited in the coming days and weeks to read about the programming, but I don't necessarily need to watch it. The other thing that I thought was fun was Brie and Nikki Bella. Nikki turned on Brie, and now she's aligned with that evil Stephanie McMahon. There's just something about a good pro wrestling angle that just makes my heart warm and melt with pride. Does. I don't know why, because they're so few, and maybe it's because they're so few and far between. It's back in the day, it was, pretty much commonplace that you were going to end up having great scripts week after week after week, and you would end up finding these great storylines. And I can go back to Anita, on the line from back in the day in Portland wrestling, you would have these crazy far-fetched stories that you just bought into. You suspended your disbelief. You just kind of went with the punches, rolled with the punches, and just kind of went with it. And it was deliciously fun. It is so hard to get a good pro wrestling script nowadays. I wish I had an answer for it because I would like to know what I should do. John Gardner, you're listening. You know what I'm talking about. So, John, I've got two Johns listening. John in Orange County. Thank you. And then I've got John in Inland Empire. Thank you for listening. So we've got Johns all over the place listening tonight. In music news tonight, we've got something of a little bit of a shake-up. Taylor Swift, you know, country sweetheart, shakes off country with her first pop album. It's called 1989, due out October 22nd. And, of course, it's named for the year she was born. Did you roll your eyes? I'm rolling my eyes. It's her first documented official pop album. She told the crowd of handpicked fans at the New York Empire State Building today, where she hosted her much-hyped half-hour Yahoo live stream earlier tonight. The goal for the lead-off single, which is called Shake It Off, was to create a song that sounded like nothing I had done. Gee, I can't relate to that at all. Produced by Max Martin and Shellback, the team behind other enormous Swift hits, which were I Knew You Were Trouble and We Are Never, Ever Getting Back Together. The unabashedly poppy anthem is inspired by a lesson that Swift learned in the 2 years since her last album, 2012's Red. She says, people can say whatever they want about us at any time. The only thing we control is our reaction to that. How true. Shake It Off is accompanied by an equally chirpy music video directed by Mark Romanek. He directed Johnny Cash's Hurt, Michael and Janet Jackson's Scream. I hated that song. I really wanted to like it. In it, the 24-year-old singer is flanked by ballerinas, gymnasts, and twerking women. I wonder if she got Miley in there for a dollar or two. Whether any of this will appeal to the country fans who made her a superstar remains to be seen. She says, or Rolling Stone's contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis says, does anyone still think Taylor Swift is a country artist anymore? I haven't for a long time. She's a very career savvy, and I'm sure she and her handlers are convinced she can withstand any potential blowback. I would agree. That is, again, from Rolling Stone contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis. Linda in the chat room loves Taylor Swift. Congratulations, Linda. And I will say a congratulations on usually kicking my butt on SongPop. It's a free app. It's a game that you can play if you have an iProduct. And Linda routinely kicks my butt on anything having to do with country. She says, that isn't true. It is true. Actually, you know what? I think I kick your butt more on country, and you kick me on every other thing. So all these other categories, I think I should be winning. You usually kick my butt, and then I surprise myself and actually do pretty good on the country. Anyway, back to Taylor. It says, Jason Lipschutz, associate editor at Billboard. He says, I don't think it's Taylor Swift's deserting the genre as much as Taylor Swift trying something new. Her last album was based in country music, but it had a lot of bubblegum pop in it. She's always been a great storyteller. She's always been trying her hand at pop music more and more. It's kind of a complete transition that if you're going to be paying attention, you would see it coming. But Greg Swedberg, program director of K102 in Minneapolis, doesn't believe country radio will pay Taylor much attention this time. He says, I'm sure there will be some stations who will play it a couple of times as she makes high-quality music no matter the genre. Taylor fans will love the new music, and it's well known that her fans come in all formats. I hope she gets the country muse again soon and will gladly welcome her back whenever that is. So it's interesting that, you know, Taylor's wanting to try something new, and I simply mention that because of the different things that I'm working on the album. The song I'm working on that I'm going to go into the recording studio and begin tomorrow is a song that I was inspired to listening to Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run rendition by Jeff Rundgren, I believe. And I probably got the name wrong, but it was somebody who was with Paul McCartney and Wings for years and years and years. He did the complete Band on the Run album at McCabe's in Santa Monica a few months ago, and I went to see Brian Pothier and Bill Sinkay play, again, you know, my producer and my vocal coach, both great guitar players and bass players, respectively. And there was something that was said in the concert. It was just like a statement. It wasn't even during one of the songs, and it gave me a great idea. And so tomorrow I'm going to go into the studio, and Brian and I are going to work on music for a rockabilly type of a song, and it has to do about numbers. And the song is going to be called Numbers Game, and that's all I can tell you right now. But it's something I haven't done. It's something completely different, much like the tribal chant for the original song was different, and much like the, you know, rock and roll Rolling Stones other song that I'm working on is completely different. I totally get it, because I think if I did an album of just, you know, 10 pop songs that all sounded exactly the same, you might as well just make it one song and, you know, just have it on repeat 10 different times. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of my thought on that subject. If you have a different thought, of course, you can call in at 323-657-1493 and share that with us. In the meantime, we'll be right back in, well, let's say two songs. We're going to play A Little Heart first.
Telephone.
That was a little hard. If Looks Could Kill, I played that really for a couple of people who are listening in tonight. We've got Chip listening up in the North Hollywood area, and, of course, Laura, who is listening. She's got great stories of her memories of Heart. Maybe we'll have her as a guest on the show one day, and we'll have her tell all about it. During the break, I posted something on Facebook. If you happen to go check out my wall, there's a minute and 23-second video. They went to, I think it's Orlando, Florida, and they asked homeless people to write down a fact about themselves. And I think if you have a chance to watch that, it will really be quite eye-opening. Have you ever been homeless? Have you ever been close to being homeless? What do you think of people who are homeless? And what do you give them money? Do you give them food? Do you ignore them? What's your way to deal with the situation? I know I've got a couple of friends on Facebook, and sometimes I kind of wish I understood other people's finances, you know, because it's none of my business, number one. So I'm saying that first and foremost, because they will post things like, yep, I just went down to Subway and bought X number of dozens of Subway $10 gift cards. And so as I go out and, you know, I see homeless people or whatever, I give them a bottle of water and I give them a Subway gift card so they can go get lunch or dinner or something like that. And number one, I thought, boy, that was a fantastic thing to do. But then I also kept thinking, how much money do you have? Because as much as I would like to say I'm going to go out and buy, you know, all these $10 gift cards to give out to people, that could get spendy really, really quickly. And I just thought, what a great thing this person is doing, and I certainly applaud him for doing that. So I don't know. I'm going to tell you something, I'm not ashamed of this. I just needed to change how it was being done, and I ended up canceling it. For two or three years, I've been giving an automatic donation of $25 a month to a rescue group down here in Orange County called, like, Save Chihuahuas or something like that. I don't really have any connection to them other than I found them one time, and I don't know how I got signed up, but I got signed up to give them a $25 recurring monthly thing, and then anyhow, it was on PayPal. I was like, I need to get this changed. The only way to change it was to cancel. So I'm going to figure out either, A, how I re-sign up and can get back in touch with them, or find another group to donate, whether it's time, money, or effort, or supplies, or something like that, to here closer to home. I think, you know, I sigh at that. I think I struggle a little bit because I want to have a closer connection to what I choose to donate my time and or money to, and I don't have that close connection. I wish I did. I've got friends that have volunteered in the past for, like, the Seal Beach Animal Rescue. Seal Beach is, like, you know, 3 miles up the road from here. I've had friends volunteer here and there, and I'll say, well, the next time you volunteer, would you just call me? And if I'm not doing anything, I would love to come help you. And the last people that I talked to about this, I was sure that I was finally going to get my in someplace. And I reminded them of this a couple of weeks ago when I saw them, and they both said, oh, we stopped volunteering because the last time we went there, we brought home their new adopted dog. I thought, well, that was wonderful, but there's still the dogs that need you there. I think it's one of those time, you know, when opportunity is right, it will present itself to you, and you will know that that is the right place to go and do and feel and be and all of that good stuff. So I don't know what the answer is, other than I want to do something. I don't know what that something is. Now in my life, when I have a little bit more flexibility in my time and schedule, I would love to be able to do that. As much as I love coming home and holding my babies and, you know, snuggling with them at night, I really do feel strongly that I need to go volunteer my time and give love. And sometimes, you know, when you're volunteering at an animal shelter, love doesn't mean picking up and holding the cute little angels that are just desperate for love and attention. It means cleaning up poop, hosing down, you know, the kennels, washing bedding, feeding them, you know, doing some of the non-glamorous things just to get the animals in a state that, you know, they can survive and hopefully have somebody come and adopt them. The couple of places that I've gone to here locally, you know, I've done donation of money and also resources, you know, food, toys, and things like that. I've tried to get them on the show. several times, and for whatever reason, they just couldn't ever get it together to do that. And I've had other groups where I've said, you know, I will put you on the show anytime you want. You just, you know, name the date. And usually, if people want to be on the show, you know, like, oh, yeah. And usually, they're after me for it. It is the craziest thing. I've had two or three groups that I thought for sure, you know, I had one that was a really big name group up in L.A. Oh, yeah. Nothing. You hear the crickets chirp louder. So I just know that the time is not right. It's just like with everything else. When it is supposed to work, it will. One of the people that was on our show last year with Fences for Fido out of Salem, Oregon, you know, Darren Jones, one of my dear friends for 100 years, she's been on the show representing Fences for Fido. Also have had other people from their group run into a lady online. I said, I love your post. It's great to see you. And she goes, oh, I'm so glad that you connected with me because for some reason we got disconnected here on Facebook, which means she unfriended me for some reason. I can only imagine why, you know, because I'm so controversial. But she says, well, I'd love to put you in touch with our new so-and-so, our new president. So we're working out things that we can do and talk about to get him on. And it was funny because I just said, you know, just come on and talk about a success story. Talk about what you do, you know, or if you've got a fundraiser or a cause or you got anything coming up. And I'm like, well, you know, we do this all the time. Come and tell that. Say that. I don't know. So we might have somebody from Fences for Fido in Salem, Oregon, or the Willamette Valley on the show sometime soon. I don't know. This is crazy. Just crazy, crazy, crazy. Something else that was crazy is what I did all day Sunday. So I had people pinging me. And normally, yesterday was like a day that, you know, when I normally wake up on Sundays fairly early. I ended up going to bed probably by, I don't know, 9 or 10 on Saturday night, you know, late night Garrett. I'm never up late. And got up probably like 7:30 or 8, which is really late for me on Sunday. I'm usually up by like 6, get my elliptical done and, you know, figure out what I'm going to do with the day. I woke up late. The dogs were just kind of like very content to lay there in bed. And if they're content to lay there in bed, I will lay there, because as soon as one of them starts rumbling underneath the sheets, then they all start rumbling and racing around, and it's like, oh, couldn't I have just had like 5 more minutes? So I just kind of like lay there and pretend that, hold your breath, take a deep breath, slow, don't make any sudden movements, and you probably got 5 more good minutes. So the dogs were content to not get up, so that was great. But I'd started this project a few weeks ago. One of the things about moving across the street is that the commitment that I made to myself is if it doesn't fit in a drawer or cupboard or my existing storage, which means my 2 filing cabinets or 2 shelves, I've got to get rid of it. So Marcus, who's my roommate, and he's on the other side of the house, he's been a CPA, he's been a CFO, he knows how long you need to keep stuff and everything, so he's like, you really need to keep these documents this number of years and this and da-da-da. So I went and looked. I had like 4 boxes, 4 books boxes of paperwork. Now, if I tell you, Anita, because you can laugh and appreciate this when I tell you this, I had tax returns dating back to 1987 when I still worked at Oregon State Parks. 1987, 1988, 1989. And I had tax returns, you know, dating back, you know, 25, 30 years like that. So I went through the process of starting to shred all of that stuff as you are supposed to do whenever it has signatures or numbers or things like that. So I bought this really fancy paper shredder a couple of years ago, I think from Costco or something like that, and it's, you know, it can take like 5 sheets of paper at a time. It has kind of been on its way out for a while. It was to the point where even shredding one piece of paper was like, oh, my aching back. That's what it sounded like, and that's kind of how it attacked it. So Saturday night, I'm sitting here ripping up a bunch of pieces of paper on my own, and so I post a little note on Facebook. My delightful next-door neighbor, Jill, very early Sunday morning says, I have an extra shredder if you'd like to borrow it. I'll meet you in the alley, you know, because she's my next-door neighbor. You just open up the garage door, boom, she's right there. So I said, I would love to borrow your paper shredder. So I brought it over here, plugged it in, and even the paper shredder that she gave me, which was severely heavy-duty, was like, good Lord, man, what the heck are you doing? So I could shred for probably like 15 minutes, and then the paper shredder would overheat, so I'd have to let it sit for half an hour, and then I'd come back and shred some more and back and forth. So I filled up three huge recycle bins of shredded paper dating back to 1987, and now I have the appropriate extra space on my shelves out in the little storage area that I converted in the patio. So I want to send a big shout out to Jill for giving my Sunday purpose yesterday. But it's like, you know, when you start doing those projects and you're like, oh, this is such a gross project, I hate doing this. But you start to see that light at the end of the tunnel and realize by the time that you're done, wow, I'm really, really glad that I took the time to do this. That's kind of what yesterday was like. In a very weird way, I don't know how else to explain it other than to just say it this way. By getting rid of all of these papers and only keeping what I had to keep, emotionally and energetically, this is me sounding like I'm from California now, but emotionally and energetically, I really felt like I was getting rid of a lot of my past that I was hanging on to. You know, I looked at a lot of those old tax returns that had really nice numbers on them for many, 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 many years in a row, going like, holy cow, I can't believe, you know, I was making that kind of money at this time and that time and lots of other times. But then I look back and go like, I was making all of that money. Where did all of that money go? Well, I spent just as much as I made. So as quickly as it was coming in the door, or actually faster than it was coming in the door, I was spending it and charging it. So the last couple of years, number one, have been quite humbling for me, but also number two, they've been great at making sure that I spend well within my means. And if I don't have the money, it does not get spent. And I will tell you, it is a much better place to be mentally when the bills come in because, you know, you've already paid for it. I won't get on that soapbox, I promise you, but that's what I did on Sunday, so big thanks to Jill for that. Do you have a favorite show that is, let's see, Anita's saying something in the chat room, says, I've been sorting and shredding lately, but I confess I cannot get rid of anything related to you, all those Garrett gossips. Anita, if you have those Garrett gossips, I think I have all of my extra copies also, but if you accidentally scanned and emailed those to me or photocopied and sent them to me, I probably would give you a big hug from afar. I will tell you, that would be something that would be really cool. I think at some point, those will be making its way into a book of some kind. There you go. Anita also said she's kind of a soft touch for homeless types on a street corner who have doggies. As you hand them the money, you say, take good care of that. I do the same thing. You know, there have been a couple of times where, just call out, kind of calling it the way it is. You know, I didn't really have a whole lot of money in my bank account, didn't really have a whole lot of money with me, but saw somebody with – I've even seen people, and I don't know if they're their dogs, but it just certainly looks like it, where they've had like two or three dogs. And I just keep thinking, wow, people will be carrying the dogs on their shoulders, and then you got another one they're holding and the whole thing. And I'm like, whatever I've got in my wallet, you can have. I said, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, but please go take care of your dogs and make sure they've got food and water today, and you kind of just send them on their way. So I hope they do that. I struggle with that. One of the topics that was on the news earlier today on the talk radio was the fact that a college education now should be like air and water. And you say, what does that mean? You know, because you really do need that college education to get anywhere. So it's not just good enough that you have your high school education, because the high school education today doesn't mean anything. It's now the new junior high. You have to have your bachelor's and, in a lot of cases, master's to do anything. And to be able to say that you've gone to college now just simply means that you were able to figure out how to get the financial resources to go. Not that you necessarily learned anything. Hopefully you did. Hopefully it was something you were able to learn that was not related to a trade. And if you go to trade school, that's fantastic. But just think that if you were able to take like an art appreciation class and you were a business major, or you took an accounting class but you were an English major, or something, you know, not having to do with your major in any way, shape, or form, but it was able to help shape how you think about the world in which you live, and it makes you a better person in society as a result. What do you think about these universities charging these quadrillion dollars a year for their quote-unquote higher education, and they're just a churn-and-burn environment for bringing the students in, getting them out, and then getting all that research money to really help fund, you know, different stuff to give the university prestige and buildings and sports teams and high-paid coaches, while students who are really trying to get an education to make a difference in this world can't eat or are going into so much debt for degrees that they will never, ever recover from. If you're a teacher God bless you. But if you're a teacher getting a teaching degree, you don't make gazillions of dollars, but you still have that same college debt that everybody else has. Is that fair? I don't know. I'm feeling a little socially aware lately, and I don't know why, but I appreciate you indulging me. We've got some celebrity birthdays. Let's talk about them today before we end the show. We've got actually a bunch of people that I'm going to be excited to talk about. Mr. Robert Redford. Yes, he is. He's 78 today. They list him as a director. Isn't that funny? He's now known as being a director. Here's his about section. Again, this comes from famousbirthdays.com. You can read along with me if you like. Popular actor and director who founded the Sundance Film Festival and starred in classics such as All the President's Men. Before he was famous, he was asked to leave the University of Colorado, after which he studied painting at the Pratt Institute and acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. He received an Oscar in 1981 for directing the film Ordinary People. I didn't know that. Wow. He married Lola Van Wagenen on September 12, 1958, and later married Sybil Jaggers on July 11, 2009. How do you say Jaggers? Z-A-G-G-A-R-S. Jaggers. And it's Sybil, S-I-B-Y-L-L-E. I don't understand that, folks. Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show. He's 44 today. Best known as Theo, of course. He's also known for playing Malcolm McGee on the UPN sitcom Malcolm and Eddie. He demonstrated interest in acting at age 9, which resulted in his enrollment in various acting schools. And he's also starred as Dr. Alex Reed on the BET sitcom, Read Between the Lines. He dated Michelle Thomas in 1988 until her death. I don't know anything about her, so I'm very sorry to hear about that. And happy 44th, Malcolm Jamal Warner, very talented actor. Christian Slater, 45 today. He had his first major role alongside actress Winona Ryder in Heathers. The 1985 film The Legend of Billie Jean featured him as a titular character. I don't know what that means. Before he was famous, he first appeared on ABC's soap opera Ryan's Hope before gaining roles in Broadway and films like The Name of the Rose. His film debut took place in The Postman, Always Rings Twice. In 1993, he won the MTV Award for Best Kiss with Marissa Tomei in the movie Untamed Heart. He dated actress and co-star Winona Ryder in 1988 after filming Heathers. He married and had two children with Ryan Haddon, whose mother is model Dale Haddon. The couple had two children, Jaden and Eliana. Okay, Christian Slater's 45. I'm not a big fan of his, by the way, but happy birthday. We also have Dennis Leary. He's 57. He's a comedian, actor, and co-creator of the drama series Rescue Me, who starred in the 2012 Spider-Man reboot as Captain George Stacy. Before he was famous, Dennis Leary helped create the Emerson Comedy Workshop while a student at Emerson College in Boston, and after graduating took a job at the school teaching comedy writing classes. He is known for biting, chain smoking, and his sarcastic comedic style. I was going to say comedy style, but it's good. He married Ann Lembeck Leary in 1989. They have a son named Jack, and daughter Devin was born in 1992. Happy 57th birthday, Mr. Dennis Leary. And two more. We're going to wrap up the show. Mr. Andy Samberg is 30. He's only 36. What a young man. He's just a baby. Comedian, actor, musician, and voice actor who popularized SNL's digital shorts while a cast member from 2005 to 2012. His comedy group called The Lonely Island has released two successful comedy rap albums. He attended UC Santa Cruz for 2 years before transferring to New York University, where he graduated in 2000. He rose to internet fame by making comedy videos with Jorma Taccone and Akiva Schaffer and posting them on YouTube. His Dick in a Box duet with Justin Timberlake on Saturday Night Live won him a Creative Arts Emmy for Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics. He married Joanna Newsom in September of last year, 2013. And in 2007, he started in the film Hot Rod with Ilsa Fisher. Happy 36th birthday to Mr. Andy Samberg. And our last birthday of the night, and then we're done for the evening, is Mr. Edward Norton. He gave a solid performance in Fight Club, Hannibal, and American History X. I really liked Fight Club. What's the first rule of Fight Club? There is no Fight Club. His role in Primal Fear earned him a nomination for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. Before he was famous, his mother died of a brain tumor in 1997, and after college, he was employed at his grandfather's company, Enterprise Community Partners. Although he's primarily known for acting, he made his directorial debut in 2000 with his film, Keeping the Faith. He dated actress Salma Hayek from 1999 to 2003, and he married Shauna Robertson in 2012. They have one child. And it says associated with, he starred in Fight Club with Brad Pitt. If you've seen Fight Club, as many of you have, you know, because the movie's, you know, it was released a day or two ago, I did not see the end of that movie coming at all. Really, really a shock. So, with that, folks, tune in tomorrow night. It's Tarot Tuesday. Tarot Jeff will be back. He will be taking your free 5-minute, 3-card read on what's in the cards for me, meaning you, or a specific question. So if you want to ask a question, line up. The call queue will open at 6:45. That's 9:45 Eastern Standard Time. Again, 15 minutes before the show goes live, you can start calling in and lining up, and we'll get you in with Tarot Jeff as quickly as possible. And this is for all of you country music fans, a little favorite of mine from Tanya Tucker. We'll be live on Tuesday.
If your heart ain't busy tonight, maybe it would like to get with mine. If your heart ain't busy tonight, well, I could keep it occupied for a long, long time. If your lips ain't got something pressing to do, if your arms aren't held up, well, they're invited to. If your heart ain't busy tonight, maybe it would like to get with mine. Anytime. Well, it's kind of you to lend me an ear. Well, that's a start, but I believe if I could only get the rest of you over here, well, all of you might fall in love with all of me. If your heart ain't busy tonight, maybe it's life. Get with mine, honey, anytime. Oh yeah. If your feet are restless for somewhere to go, and your eyes want something more to see, why don't you let them lead the rest of you to my door, so all of you can fall in love with all of me. If your heart ain't busy tonight, well, maybe it would like to get with mine. If your heart ain't busy tonight, well, I could keep it occupied a long, long time. Yes, I could. If your list ain't got something pressing to do, if your arms aren't held up, well, they're invited to. If your heart ain't busy tonight, maybe it would like to get with mine anytime. If your heart ain't busy tonight, maybe it's the life to get with mine. Uh-huh.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.